This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the open session of regular meeting of, and I'm going to mute somebody just in a second here. The open session of the Thursday, October 5th, 2023 regular PNB meeting. It is 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. And I would say, Madam Secretary, it looks like we have quorum. Would you call the roll? Only Madam Secretary is not here this evening. She's feeling under the weather. And so I am ready to call the roll. So let me start with Teresa Allen.
Do we need a temporary secretary?
So she sent me, Nancy sent me the stuff that, you know, so that I can do this. I think I can do this because she's got this really handy spreadsheet. So, okay. So Teresa Allen said present. Adriana Casaneve.
Present.
Thank you. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs told me that she would be probably late this evening, so I will keep going. Fred Dodsworth.
Here, and I will also have to leave because I'm watching my kids for the next half hour.
Got it. Bill Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Thank you, Sue. Heather Gray. I'll come back through. Donna Grimes. Again, I'll keep going. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Avalia Jones, I also heard from Avalia, said that she would probably be an hour late. Ali Lexa.
Present.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Thank you. James McFadden.
Presente.
Thank you. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Gotcha. Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Thank you, Sean. Jim Sagerton. Jim Sagerton.
Sagerton is here. I'm trying to get Heather in. She's on her way.
Gotcha. Okay. Sharon Salam.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Thank you. Elizabeth von Gunten.
Here.
Got it. Egberto Willis. Okay. I didn't hear Egberto. Let me go back through just in case. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I didn't expect her here that fast. Heather Gray. Oh, Jim's trying to get Heather. Donna Grimes. Avalia Jones. Again, I didn't expect her here that fast. And Egberto Willis. Okay. I think, so we have 16 members present, so we do have quorum. So I shall continue on, with the next item on the agenda, which is the report out from the executive session of September 21st, 2023 meeting of the PNB. And the report out is.
Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Sean.
Aren't you calling the other members?
No, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. You know, you would think because I have Nancy's handy dandy spreadsheet right in front of me that I would know. You would. Stephanie Wells, are you here?
Yes, here.
Thank you. Nancy Sorden? I don't think Nancy's here. Arthur Schwartz? I don't see Arthur, and Markeisha Van Zandt, Sampson. All right. Thank you, Sean. Much appreciated. Okay. So then the next item on the agenda is the report out from the September 21st meeting, and that is the PNB met in closed session to discuss a confidential contractual matter and to pass the following motion. Motion establishing one bank for Pacifica's banking needs. Whereas Pacifica expends scarce resources in the wiring and transfer of funds between units at least twice a month for routine purposes such as payroll and the payment of health insurance. And whereas Pacifica could also benefit from having one bank provide all its banking needs by obtaining higher levels of free transactions per account, therefore be it resolved that the executive director and the national business manager are authorized to establish bank accounts for each unit at one bank beginning with the new fiscal year starting on October 1st, 2023. And be it further resolved that each unit will have its own account at this bank, with national office staff having the ability to view transactions and account balances. Pacifica National Office will also perform bank reconciliation each month. That's the report out from September 21st. Next item up is excused absences. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move to excuse all absences.
Can you tell me who those people are?
I certainly can, because I have the secretary's handy dandy list in front of me. And those folks are Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Heather Gray, Donna Grimes, Avelia Jones, and Egberto Willis. And some of those people we expect to show up, if not momentarily, then in an hour or so. Okay.
I have a point of information, Madam Chair.
I made a motion.
Heard, for a second. Yeah, hang on. I heard Ali's first, so go ahead, Ali.
Yeah, I move to excuse the absences. Seeking a second.
You.
A second.
Thank you, Teresa. Adriana, your point of information.
Yes. Any of these people asked for an excuse absence?
I heard from Vanessa and from Avelia that they would be late.
Okay.
And I know that Donna Grimes is trying to get on, ditto Heather, and I don't know about Egberto. Okay, so any further discussion of the motion to excuse these absences?
Madam Chair, I want to abstain because we are not following our own rules. That's it.
Are there any other objections? Hearing no other objections, we'll consider the motion to excuse the absences of those not present pass with one abstention. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Next on the agenda is, I believe, timekeepers. Yes. So I need someone willing to time people.
I volunteer.
Thank you, McFadden. And someone willing to time items? I really can't do it and record votes and other stuff at the same time. Surely someone wants to do this.
Surely someone would take a turn.
I'll do it, but I'm telling you, I'm attention deficit issue here.
Thank you, Teresa. I'll try and, keep you apprised of what the time is for each item and we'll see how we do. Next item on the agenda is approving minutes for the open session of September 21st. Nancy did send those minutes along, I think not long before the meeting began, something like an hour before, half an hour to an hour before the meeting began. I don't remember exactly. Okay, maybe it was not quite half an hour, but is there any discussion of the minutes of September 21st? Would someone like to move that we approve the minutes of September 21st?
I so move, Teresa.
Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Sue Goodwin. Is there any discussion of the minutes of September 21st? Maybe I already asked that question, but I asked it out of order. Hearing no discussion, are there any objections to approving the minutes of September 21st? Hearing no objections, we'll consider those minutes approved. Okay. That takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is committee reports. So, this being the first meeting of the month, we cruise through all the list of all the committees, starting with the standing committees. And first up is the audit committee. And Aki, I don't know if you have anything to report from Susan Young, the chair of the audit committee. Nothing. All right, we'll move on to the coordinating committee. Oops, that's Nancy Sorden. I can report for Nancy that the coordinating committee did not meet this month, but expects to meet again in the end of October to work on the November agendas. That takes us to the finance committee.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Sure.
The coordinating committee, is there any reason why the coordinating committee doesn't meet?
I think the reason was we didn't have a meeting posted and didn't realize it till it was too late to post it in time to, and so we conducted a lot of the transaction by email. So
thank you.
It happens. Anything else before we move on to the finance committee? Sagerton, would you like to give a report for the finance committee? NFC? Did we lose Jim Sagerton? Heather, is that you?
Yeah.
Yes, but Jim should be on as well. He was the one who gave me the number.
Well, one thing I will do is I can at least rename you on the Zoom.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. No, it seems that we've lost. I don't see him. So something happened. We'll circle around and we'll come back. Next up is the governance committee, which is Beth von Gunten. Beth?
Yes, one moment. I sent this around to everyone before the meeting, so it should be near the top of your inbox. PNB governance committee report to the PNB Thursday, October 5th, 2023. The PNB Governance Committee held its regular monthly meeting Wednesday, September 27, 2023, with 10 of 16 members present. The committee discussed the purpose and proposed process of the bylaws subcommittee to review Pacifica bylaws for compliance with current California law. 5 committee members have agreed to work with the subcommittee, which is scheduled to meet tomorrow, October 5th, 2023. The next regular PNB Governance Committee meeting will be Wednesday, October 23, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, as posted to KPFTX. Thank you.
Any questions?
I copied the secretary on that, so she in her inbox will be the written copy of that report. Thank you.
Any questions for Beth and the governance committee? Beth, did I hear you correctly to say October 23rd or 2023, or did you say October 25th, 2023? For your next meeting.
It should be 25th.
Thank you, Aki. Okay, Jim Sagerton. Yes, you may. Go ahead.
I just wanted to inquire as to whether Heather got in yet.
Heather did.
Oh, good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. So, but we noticed that you dropped off, Jim. And so, we were cruising through the committee reports and we skipped over finance because you weren't present at that very moment. But, I'm happy to go back and have you do the finance, the NFC report now.
Yeah, we don't really have a report. I try to reserve NFC reports for when we have a motion for the PNB. Our next meeting, you know, go to KPFTX and look for it. It's next Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. And, you know, as I said, I don't generally give a report unless I have a motion from the committee, which I do not tonight.
Thanks. Anyone with any questions for Jim and the finance committee? Yes, go ahead.
One thing. The executive director's report usually contains the same information that I would give if I gave a report. So, again, I don't want to take up the time.
Got it. All right. Great. That brings us to the elections committee. Aki, is there a report from the elections committee?
No, we scheduled a meeting yesterday, but in case that the election was extended, since it wasn't, we canceled the meeting. They will have the final meeting in November 1st to recommend what we could do for the next year. So the next meeting is November 1st.
Right. Thank you. Any questions for Aki and the elections committee? Oh, I see some hands. I see one hand. Ali, Lexa, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know if this was covered by the committee or in a previous meeting, but I wanted to get clarity on the current elections. There have been some people at management level announcing that the newly elected members will be seated immediately upon the announcement of the election results.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, so maybe this hang on one second, Ali. Maybe this multitasking thing isn't working so well because I blew right past agenda approval. And I now realize because I was going to point out to you that that was later on the agenda, the question you just raised.
Okay.
So maybe what we need to do is now that I started into the agenda, we should backtrack and approve the agenda, and I will read the rest of the agenda for everyone. I should have done this after timekeepers and before I went on to approving minutes. So agenda approval is a 5-minute item, Teresa. And we had approved minutes, then we had committee reports, which is a long list of committees, and followed by the affiliates report, followed by a report from the ad hoc committee on Eric Jacobson, followed by determining whether newly elected delegates begin in November or December, followed by the ED report and Q&A, followed by the general counsel report and Q&A, and then closing out with the open session portion of the meeting with unfinished business, new business, and then a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 11 p.m. I'll move the agenda. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Dingaman. Any discussion of the agenda?
I would like to say something during the affiliates report.
Sure. I'll take note of that. Dingman, I see your hand. Go ahead.
Well, we're up to the elections committee, correct?
Well, we were, but we're on agenda approval because.
Oh, I have nothing to add.
Because I blew through that stop sign. So that's what your hands up for? Okay.
For elections, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and leave it there and I'll just, see if anyone has, anything that they would like to discuss further about the agenda. I made note of Teresa's point about the affiliates. All right. Hearing no further discussion of the agenda, are there any objections to approving the agenda as drafted? Hearing no objections, we'll consider the agenda approved. Okay. So, okay. That means we're back to, the elections committee report. And oh, look, Jim Dingaman's hand is up. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I wanted to publicly thank everybody who I know I was part of that process, but I have a feeling it's a big group process that operated throughout the whole network to make the quorum date for what happened. And I think everybody deserves a big round of applause for all the hard work they did to make that happen.
Are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star. All right. So, it sounded like somebody had two open lines at the same time. And so I muted them both. I don't know. You'll have to unmute if you want to speak again. Yes. Thank you, Dingaman. That's an excellent point because I know a lot of people really, worked hard to make sure that we made quorum, which by the way, folks, we made quorum by September 30th, the close of balloting. And so that meant that we, saved Pacifica at least $5,000. So, well done to everybody who helped, with the get out the vote and all the candidate forums and parts and so on and so forth. So, anything else on the elections committee? All right. Next up is the programming committee. Heather, do you have a report from the programming committee? And you'll have to unmute. And it is star 6 to unmute on your phone. You look like you're still muted, Heather.
Chair, Heather had the problem with the two lines, and I see that she's taken down her Hollywood Square and only has that phone line now showing.
Yeah.
She may have,
but that phone line has a mute sign by it, so... Well, maybe we'll come back to Heather if in the programming committee if we figure that out. Let's just move on then to the strategic planning committee. Jim Dingman?
Yeah, I wanted to, Heather and I talked about something before the meeting began. And that's the question of national programming, which they're still working on. And, I believe that when Heather comes back and gets the, new problem solved, she'll get back to that. But I wanted to raise that people are still working on that. We've just had the first, debates occur. I don't know, you know, there's a real need to get that whole thing worked out at the national level. Okay. Anyway, street planning, the version you have there of 10A, clean up version of the underwriting motion. The last time we had a strategic planning committee meeting, people volunteered to clean that up. So there will be, hopefully on Monday, announcement by some who are supposed to clean up the version of the underwriting motion. We're going to clarify the motion that was to be argued the last time we had the meeting, which was essentially to urge the ED to get the financial information in line with the motions that were made by the board a year ago and what Fred made recently, to start getting that information up to date in terms of audience and financial data. The debate was essentially over most of the people on the committee wanted to basically, get the ED to get that. There may be a motion to get a director inspection process underway, which myself and one other person feel should occur. We'll be having a meeting on 8:30 on the 9th, and that will be the next Strategic Planning Committee, October 9th.
Thanks, Jim. Are there questions for Dingman in the Strategic Planning Committee? Hearing none, let me pause and see if Heather's back.
Yes, I am, Julie. Sorry about that confusion.
Would you like to give the programming committee report
now? Yes, give the programming committee. And so just wanted to mention is Sue's on, and Jim. So one of the things we've talked about, and we need to get back to meetings to discuss this some more, but is having national programs, actually. So I'm going to ask Jim and Sue to just talk briefly about their role in this. So go ahead, Jim, please.
Let Sue go ahead of me.
Sue, could you talk about what we're doing and what you plan on doing?
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
So let me proceed this. I think you've heard me say many times, I think the Pacifica brand is missing. And I think just like someone says, I am an NPR listener, I want someone to say I'm a Pacifica listener. But we don't have national products. Well, we have Democracy Now. But I don't think people connect that to Pacifica. So a number of things. First of all, a national program. And my goal and our goal is a couple.
So you're sort of breaking up. It's kind of like we can hear every other word. Are you using like a headset or something? Because it might be that you have a faulty jack or something.
Yeah, Sue, your whole thing just screwed up. Couldn't hear you at all.
It's still a little cutting in and out.
So you're telling me to go off
now
of the headphone?
Now you sound great. Keep going. Now you sound great.
Okay. Okay. I hear the show. I got to tell you guys, I hear the show. And I can't pretend. I'm not going to pretend. It won't take work. So the challenge, and I think a show would be accompanied by a newsletter, right? Best of Pacifica this week, which would include more content. We need to do this, and it's a matter of time and effort. So I think Heather and I and people I'm talking with, that's what we need to figure out.
Thanks so much for that, Sue. And we look forward to sharing more of this with the board. So we'll go to Jim. Do you want to say anything about what we've talked about you doing as well?
Yeah, I've been, as all of us have been preoccupied with the election, also I have all sorts of podcasting ventures I'm well underway in implementing. But as I mentioned the last time we had a programming committee, as soon as I can get it organized, I'm tired of waiting around. I'm just going to go ahead and start doing podcasting oriented to the election. And, it's just an amazing opportunity, and, that will occur probably this month. So I'll start to get that process underway, and it'll be sort of a pilot, but I will ask for other people to get involved. But just as a target-rich environment, this insane political situation we're in domestically in this country and internationally right now. So it's akin to 1967, 68, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, that's what I promised I would do the last time we had a program committee, and I intend to implement that sometime this month, coming. Thank you.
So thanks for that, Jim. Thanks, Julie. That's it for right now. Okay.
Great. Are there any questions for Heather and the programming committee at this point? All right. We did hear from strategic planning committee. So then the next one up is personnel committee. Darlene?
Personnel met on September 25th. We're working on the annual, except it's way more than a year, annual performance evaluation for the executive director. We were able to send some material to Stephanie, and she is underway on that. And we have our next meeting on the 16th to take that single topic up again.
Any questions for Darlene and the personnel committee? All right. Next up is the Development Task Force. Beth.
Thank you. PNB Development, I emailed this to everyone just before the meeting, so it should be near the top of your inbox, and to the secretary. PNB Development Task Force report to the PNB Thursday, October 5th. The Pacifica National Development Task Force called its regular monthly meeting Monday, September 18th, 2023, with six participants. Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells gave on an update and took questions. KPFK listener Andrew Weiss and KPFK IGM Michael Novick reported on renewed efforts at KPFK to increase underwriting. Steve Kaiser, CFP and CPA, longtime Development Task Force member from KPFK, made the case for Pacifica to up its game and prioritize planned giving. The next regular meeting of the Pacifica National Development Task Force will be Monday, September 25th, 2023, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time, as posted to KPFTX. That's the report for the month, but I want to add to this that I posted a notice of all the meetings for this year on KPFTX at the beginning of this year on a regular date so that it would be predictable, reliable, people would know where to find it. And yet, month after month after month, other meetings are scheduled, in this case, exactly simultaneous with this meeting, and including overlapping membership. And as a consequence, our membership is down to six. Or I should say, our attendance is down to six this month. And it's a persistent problem. It's one that I've mentioned before. It doesn't seem to have made any difference, but it's really discouraging. And it honestly leaves me wondering whether the PNB values this task force, that the purpose of the task force, enough to continue the effort. And if so, then we need some kind of rules about how we can schedule, and that we have, it's important that we respect each other's meetings. And one of the problems is that at least a couple of the committees are being scheduled on an ad hoc, like a couple of the regular committees are being scheduled routinely on an ad hoc basis. So thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Actually, I did want to ask you a question, because when you said the meeting, the next meeting, you said September. And I bet
right.
That's not what you meant.
That's exactly not what I meant. You're exactly right. It would be October, and then I need to check the date. And I will send the corrected version around. It will be October 23rd.
Got it. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yep. No worries. No worries. I thought it wasn't what you meant, but any questions for Beth and the development task force? Next up is the technology task force, Jim Dingaman.
Yeah, I'll be quick. We haven't had a meeting in about 2 months, and I will probably, what I'm looking for right now is somebody to deal with, the overall drop in listenership in radio in general, which has occurred nationally in the United States since the end of the pandemic. It's gone down about 10 to 15% nationally, whether it be in commercial or public or community radio. So I'm interested to get people who can talk intelligently about that issue. And then the other issue is podcasting. I've certainly been attending these kind of meetings for, 15, 16 years at least, but I want to start getting people in who can talk with intelligence about crafting podcasts and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm thinking of doing for the next 2 months once we get back to a more regular schedule without the craziness of the election. Thank you.
Got it. Any questions for Jim and the technology task force? All right, folks, we are cooking with gas here, as the saying goes. Next up on the agenda is a 5-minute item, Teresa, and this is the affiliates report. Yes. Bill or Heather, do you have anything you want to offer from the affiliates?
Yes, we do. And I just, Bill, do you want to say anything at first?
No, you could go ahead, Heather.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that we, of course, have meetings with Ursula and also with Joan Ross, who's the head of the Association of Affiliates. But I do want to mention that I think Joan Ross and Ursula are both going to the National Grassroots Radio Conference, that's taking place in October the 19th through the 22nd. And Julie, I want to quickly read a statement about this meeting because folks might be interested in this as well. This is a statement from the Grassroots Radio about the Grassroots Radio Conference. Join the National Grassroots Radio Conference, a thriving hub for the community media sphere encompassing LPFM radio, full power and NCE stations, college stations, dedicated radio operators, organizers, enthusiasts, and industry specialists committed to championing independent community radio programming, I should say. Station managers, engineers, DJs, and anyone passionate about radio from around the globe unite at this annual gathering, hosted in cities nationwide to collaborate, connect, and invigorate the grassroots radio community through cutting-edge workshops, insightful panel discussions, and inspiring keynote presentations. And then they say, mark your calendars. This year's conference takes place in Charleston, West Virginia, on October the 19th to October the 22nd, with WTSQ 88.FM as the host radio station. And then they say, don't miss this opportunity to be a part of the grassroots radio movement. I haven't yet gone to this conference. I'm not going to be able to go this year either, but I look forward to going to it at some point. But as I mentioned, Ursula and Joan Ross from the Association of Affiliates are attending. So, Bill, did you want to say anything else? Do you want to add anything to this? Bill Foster? You're muted. Bill?
Hi, can you Bill. Hear me?
Yeah, can yes. you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I'm not sure if I'm going. I don't think I'm going, but it would be a great thing for Joan Ross. We talked about her coming into this meeting to talk to the national board and national community, Pacifica community. So we hope that will happen soon. That's it.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bill. We do hope that she can come sometime, Julie. to one of the PNB meetings just to introduce herself and just say something briefly about the association of the affiliates.
And Joan is the chair of the association of affiliates.
Exactly.
That's right.
So I guess that's how we vote.
Got it. Great. Thank you. I agree. I think it would be, good to have Joan Ross come in and talk to us because, of course we on occasion hear from affiliate staff, Ursula and her staff, particularly, I guess we wind up hearing from them in the finance committee, but what Joan Ross and the Association of Affiliates represent are people who are, decision makers for affiliate stations and, why they are affiliates of Pacifica. So I think it would be, quite valuable for us to hear from Joan Ross at some point in the future. So we'll try and find one of these meetings, that's convenient for, convenient timing for Joan and invite her to at least give a little bit of a, introduction, to the Association of Affiliates for those of you who don't, know that much about what the AOA is. Right. Any other questions for, Heather and or Bill on this? Teresa,
yeah,
go ahead.
I have a comment.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. But I saw Teresa first. Go ahead, Teresa, then Dingman.
What's the city and the call letters of that radio station?
Yeah. Hold on a minute.
October 19th through 22nd.
October 19th to 22, and it's in Charleston, West Virginia.
Thank you. Yes. October 19th. Yes. Charleston, West Virginia. And the station itself is WTSQ.
Okay.
I'll send a note out to the board about this, Teresa.
Yeah. Great.
Go ahead.
I've been to, affiliate grassroots conferences in Moab, Utah, in Santa Barbara. I met Pete Seeger at one in the Cascades in New York one time at a hydro-powered radio station, Jeffersonville, I think it was. I was with Dina Colbert, WBAI. That was so much fun. Ames, Iowa. And, of course, I'd love to go see some of the affiliates like WGNU in Boulder or WMNF in Tampa.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Ursula used to have a slideshow. And when I was in Champaign-Urbana, there was a large building that used to house a post office, and they had a radio station in there. It was just the size of the studio. And what's just amazing is that even very small stations, they're just so impressive with what they can accomplish. It's just really inspirational. So I encourage you, if you can, to go, as you're traveling, visit community radio stations. And if you can, go to a grassroots conference. It was someone from WUNM Albuquerque who gave a presentation on vehicle donations. And she had a formula for how they raised over $200,000 one year, just taking donations of vehicles. And I thought that was amazing. What we couldn't do with $200,000 at our station, instead of raising $20,000, if we could raise $200,000, I'd even take $100,000.
Thanks, Teresa. Dingman, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, that person from the radio station in Mexico was the same person who helped us with the CPB application. So I think that it's very important going forward after this election to really begin to seriously ally ourselves with all these affiliates. And we have the Zoom technology to do it. And I think I would like to work with Bill and Heather and perhaps get a whole bunch of affiliates together in the next couple of weeks and say, okay, let's talk about how we can really further collaborate using the new technology to do all sorts of interesting things, especially in the light of this domestic situation. I just saw that Trump wants, could get elected to be the Speaker of the House, which is amazing. So, I mean, we got some heavy stuff going on and, you know, Pacifica jump in and take the lead on it. And I think with the affiliates together, we can do something. So yes, I would like to, not making a motion, but I'm going to suggest that that's something that, that I will help make happen. And I look forward to Bill and Heather helping me on this and also Ursula.
Sounds great.
Anything else? Great.
Did you want, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa. Yep.
I was contacted by an engineer, Todd Urich, and he is helping people start radio stations. So I've spent a couple days just putting feelers out to people. There's one woman, for example, in Greenville, South Carolina. She has had experience at WBAI, and she grew up in the Bay Area. She wanted to start a small radio station. And I have contacted Unitarian Universalists. I've contacted individuals. I have friends contacting Indian tribes. I've contacted Quakers, humanists. Anyway, wouldn't it be nice if when, maybe you don't understand if you live on the coast, but wouldn't it be nice if when I drove from Houston up to St. Louis, that there was something to listen to other than hellfire and damnation. And the religious right knows how to snatch up these radio station licenses. So I'm asking you, if you know someone that would like to start a radio station, please give them my phone number and have them call me ASAP. The FCC opening ends in the middle of November, but Todd would help you apply for a radio station. He would help you.
Yeah, thanks, Teresa. I mean, she's right. The FCC opening for low power FM stations, it's a window of opportunity. It doesn't open every year. You know, this is the first time in a bunch of years that they've done it. So, and this is one way to build up the affiliates network. If we, you know, encourage these stations, to start up and then, you know, share resources with them in terms of, as the affiliates do, but that's one way to increase the membership in the affiliates network
the rising tide lifts all boats.
There you go.
The better we can help those stations, the more it really helps us.
That's right. And as Sue Goodwin was saying earlier that we need a Pacifica brand. I mean, that's, one of the things that we could do. Heather, your hand's up.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to mention when we're talking about the stations, I appreciate you saying that, Teresa. I think another thing, I know I probably mentioned this at some board meetings, but community radio stations are international. There are a lot on the African continent now as well. So I'd like to mention that as something to consider also, more of a relationship with international radio stations as well. Thanks.
Sorry, James, for the set.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Thank you. this is a question for Heather or Bill or first one was here. It might be a question for her. Mention has been made, not least by me, of the idea that it would be a good idea to have a two-way street with the affiliates whereby they could provide us with some programming as well as us providing them with some programming. I know there's a program, I can't recall the name of it right now, that our affiliates network produces that is played on the affiliate stations. And I think maybe some of our stations are carrying it. I hope they are, but I'm not sure. Has there been any discussion between Pacifica management and Ursula that you're aware of, or between and this, Stephanie could jump in on this too. Are we talking to the affiliates about possibly, cycling some of their programming through us? Maybe we're speaking about Pacifica branding. Maybe this is kind of a contrary idea to branding, but if we could have a slot at our stations where we could have a place where we could get a program from all of these affiliate stations or just from around the country and play it here, I'd be very interested myself in listening to that. I think there might be an audience for it. So has there been any movement on that, Heather?
I'm not aware of that, no.
Well, yes, Ursula has been collecting programs from various affiliate stations. And so she would be the point person to consult about that. You know, she's always asking for programs from the affiliates. I think she would be the most knowledgeable and would be the point person for that.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
So I need Julie. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to jump in here a second, but I just wanted to mention that. Forgive me, but that I appreciate you bringing that up, Jim. And that's something that we need to have some kind of collaboration. We need to start having meetings, as Bill was saying. We absolutely need to do that. I think it's a wonderful idea. Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, I want to let Stephanie jump in here because I think she knows the name of the show that Sagerton was asking about.
Oh, I'm not too sure. I know that Sprouts is one of the shows that Ursula
and
I
have Sprouts.
Yes, we've been pushing that for quite some time. Yes, we've been pushing that for quite some time to get on the stations. And at the directors meetings, meeting the general managers and the directors of the affiliates and the archives, when we have our monthly meetings, I'm continually urging Ursula, and she's more than happy to talk about the programming that she has. And we've had multiple conversations when we've been talking about pulling programs from the air or revising programs that need to just be refreshed, is that there isn't any reason for a general manager or program director to have the excuse that it's too difficult to find something to put in its place, because both Ursula and I have said multiple times that there's a wealth of programming that can fill in those slots, or that can run, you know, if there's something that needs to be pulled or changed or just to move things around. I mean, even if we, you know, when we've talked about having a slot that's dedicated to archival programming, also having a slot that's dedicated to affiliate programming as well. It's just a matter of encouraging the programming committees and the program directors and the general managers to use that programming and put it in their lineup.
Julie, may I ask a follow-up of Stephanie?
Yeah, go ahead, Sagerton.
Very quickly.
And then I have
Stephanie, a stack. Is there any Pacifica station that is yet carrying Sprouts?
No.
Okay, that's all I'd like to know. Thank you.
Thanks. And I got a little bit of a stack here going now. I see Dingman, then Sue Goodwin, then Darlene. Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, you know, here's where we get into the question. You know, this is why we passed motions of hybridization and all that kind of stuff. About a year ago, Ursula had a meeting, or maybe 2 years ago, there was a manager of the affiliate station at the University of Virginia who turned out to have been the business manager for one of the national programs that Pacifica used to have, that was a daily news program. And people remember this is around the time of the overthrow of the old board that came into being. And again, there is an interest for collaboration. And the vehicles for that collaboration lie within the YouTube channels that we should have at the stations. I just recently worked with somebody in Barcelona to create a video based on a half-hour discussion about some historical issue that this person had given. And lo and behold, he had 7,000 hits the first day, 7,000 different viewings. Now, I know what the numbers are for people who listen to the stations. And in New York, for example, there's only one or two slots that get 7,000 viewings in one day or one quarter of an hour. So again, we have that whole technology that is the basis in part of podcasting, YouTube channels, that is completely unexploited by any of the stations at this point and lies dormant and needs to be creatively utilized as soon as possible. Thank you.
Sue, did you take your hand down?
Excuse me. Yes, I did. But let me just add, I agree with all of these statements about creating a national product and not just singular products. We can do it, and it will only be to our benefit. And Oh, we were talking about affiliates. To the extent that I've been involved in any of these discussions, I would totally agree. Affiliates have to be a very important part of this equation. That's all I have to say.
Sue, Darlene, you're next.
Yeah, Heather and Bill, you're going to have to help me unembarrass myself. But there's the service, you know, how do the affiliates get Pacifica, shows to choose to run on their stations? Well, they go to the filing system. That's what I call it anyway, which I always misname as airport. And, Heather and Bill, you want to help me out? It's not airport.
Audio port.
Thank you. To audio port. So Pacifica managers could get the credentials to themselves peruse AudioPort and test and choose shows that the community stations choose to put up to have shared with other stations, just the way that Pacifica puts our shows up onto AudioPort for the affiliates to look over. So it isn't, if you have any say in the programming or can get that say in the programming at your own station, you can be, you know, investigating what's available already and out for sharing from the affiliates that way.
Thanks, Darlene. Fred, I see your hand.
Yes. As I recall, we've been talking about this since July. And, hang on a sec. I'm on the Zoom, please, kids. It's going to require that we have somebody in-house who can work with Ursula to actually find these programs and disseminate them out to the five stations. And so my question is for Stephanie, which is, who can you suggest we might be able to get who will actually take on this responsibility so we're not just talking about it, but we're actually moving forward with it?
Well, the general managers all have access to AudioPort, and they know what the programs are. The key is getting the program directors and the general managers open to, opening up a slot in their grid to put these programs on the air.
And can you not just make an edit on that particular issue?
I can suggest that they use the programs, but I can't tell them to pull something and put this in its place. But I can make those suggestions.
Okay, because otherwise we're just going to sit here and talk about this for another 6 months.
And I think too, I mean, that's also where, you know, our local programming committees can, you know, they probably have greater say over what can go on the grid or make program changes than I do. And so I would hope that the local program committees too would be able to, you know, in their meetings that they have with program directors or the general managers, that this is what they want to see. And, you know, this would be a great way to go.
So the local program committees, that goes back to the LSPs.
Correct.
So five LSPs here, you got your marching orders.
Yeah. No, thanks.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's how I view it. You know, we don't know if it doesn't work unless we give it a try.
There's plenty of stuff that's not working.
Doesn't do anything. Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I've said to the general managers. If there's a program that's not, doesn't have the listeners, isn't bringing in the money, and I know not all programming can bring in money, but there, you know, the prison shows and such, but if it's not working, pull it off the air.
And we don't have that data.
If you have zero programming, if you have just no noise even going out, it would raise as much money as the program is if there was an hour of silence. So why don't we just put in something else?
Thank you.
Thanks. I see Dingman and then Sue Goodwin's hand again. Dingman?
Yeah, look, you know, that's why, I mean, I'm not, what I just mentioned is something that's totally outside of Pacifica that I'm doing that, and I don't, will probably not put it through Pacifica, but, you know, people are going to do this anyway. And that's why I've been pushing for these YouTube channels for what, 10 to 15 years? Because if you look at the YouTube channels that people set up at these, broadcast multi-platform entities, that's where you can have experimentation. And no one's going to sit and wait for a top-down process to occur when we're in a situation where one can encourage creativity. And trust me, when you work with younger people on these things, they're not waiting for us to do a damn thing. They're going to do it anyway. So, I see the affiliates as a huge, untapped, collaborative group of people that we just, you know, we just, it's a whole bunch of people. And in red states, by the way, throughout the United States. So it's a whole different ball game to open it up to literally hundreds of possible, collaborations. And, you know, the sooner we get into this, the sooner we move into the 21st century. And no, I don't agree with you, Fred. People are moving on this. We're not waiting for this. You know, people have been talking about it, but, you know, some of us are actually acting on it, not waiting on it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So that was a good discussion. But I think it's time to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is, a report from the ad hoc committee on Eric Jacobson motion that was from the July 20th meeting.
Point of information.
Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
When this first came up, it was an executive session, and the last time we met, it was in an open session. Which is it in?
I think what we decided, you're absolutely right. The original motion passed in closed session. I think we decided, unfortunately, well into that conversation, that really it was properly a matter that we should have talked about in open session because, you know, basically it has to do with, you know, when meetings were scheduled, when quorum was achieved, et cetera, on the KPFK LSB. And so that's, better for open session. And so then that's why we then subsequently talked about it in open session. And I think, as far as I know, I mean, unless the committee says otherwise, that, that most of what they would bring to the PMB, cause basically one of the things we did, and this is, you know, I put this, the motion that we passed back on July 20th, I put that in the appendix. It's in italics cause it's a motion that already passed, but you know, we said that we would, you know, try and, well, okay. We put on hold the KPFK committee elections, for national committees, until, Eric Jacobson's status was resolved and we were sure we knew what the correct KPFK LSB roster was. And so, and so we need to keep moving on that, right? And so, you know, we set up an ad hoc committee and I'd ask that they report tonight, but, and I think it's appropriate for them to report in open session unless they say otherwise. Beth, were you going to report for that group?
Yes, my hand is raised to address that exact issue. I can assure you this is the, I do have a report from that committee. I've already emailed it to everyone. I can assure you that what's in it tonight is for sure G-rated public. There's nothing in this report that calls into question public presentation. I mean, there may be at some point in the rest of the investigation, we can cross that bridge when we come to it, but certainly this report out tonight is good to go and has been emailed to everyone, including you and the secretary. Shall I proceed?
Yeah, we're at that point on the agenda.
Thank you. PNB Investigative Committee report to the PNB Thursday, October 5, 2023. The Investigative Committee met Friday, September 28, Monday, October 2, and Wednesday, October 4, 2023, with 3 to 5 of the 5 members present at each meeting. We assessed what information is needed. Each took on assignments at each meeting and reported back each time. We've compiled much of what is needed and are awaiting receipt of remaining requested materials. The committee will meet again Thursday, September 12, 2023, as I should add, as posted to KPFTX, and will report back to the PNB at the next meeting. And I would add 2 notes, one that
I give committee reports on a pretty standard basis and a regular basis, I should say. And I've never felt the need to submit the report to the committee ahead. They're all pretty much basic statements of fact. Rather than do that this time, I proposed this wording to the committee last night, and we worked through it together. It's a very diverse committee. There are diverse opinions. This is the wording that we came up with, that we all agreed to together. So this speaks for all of us. And a second point, that initially this committee was referred to as the investigative committee. And when I've needed to identify it any further than that, I've said the ad hoc investigative committee into the KPFK LSB roster, rather than to personalize it with any individual's name, because calling it the Eric Jacobson, or the committee on Eric Jacobson motion, makes it sound as if we're looking in, it doesn't sound right. It's Eric Jacobson that raised the concern, and it's not, it's the actions, that led to his removal that are being questioned and investigated. So I would like to propose that, in these meetings and, henceforth, that it be referred to either simply as the ad hoc investigative committee for as long as it lasts. I don't think it's going to be that much longer. Or the ad hoc investigative committee into the KPFK LSB roster, if that's okay. And now I'd be happy to take questions if people have questions. Thank you.
Sean has a thanks. Correction.
Go ahead, Sean.
We are in October. Your committee meeting next cannot be in September. I think you mean October 12th, 2023.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
So it's really the 12th, which is next Thursday.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. So the 12th part was right.
Because this board isn't meeting that day. It was before tried to find the earliest possible next date, and that was the one when we could make quorum again that was open on the calendar.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Excuse me, my hand's up. And it's been lowered, so I'm next. So it's my understanding that you're going to meet again on Thursday and that you do not have the final report. So I'm wondering why we're discussing this and why this isn't tabled until we get the report.
May I respond to that?
Sure.
Thank you. We're reporting tonight because concerns were raised last meeting that this ad hoc committee had not yet met, we wanted to, as a function of oversight, the board should have the information that indeed this committee is meeting and accomplishing its assigned purpose and making progress, and will report again. And rather than just, you know, let it disappear into the ethers until someday. So I did my best to keep the report concise and to the point. If it takes time beyond this, it would be due to people's questions like this. Thank you.
I appreciate what you've done, and I just wonder why we're discussing it now rather than waiting for the report.
Because I thought the committee was going to bring a report tonight and that there was going to be a motion and such. And it was only when I found out when Beth sent the report, but I'd already done the agenda, that I put it on the agenda. So, you know, that's why. There's the answer to your question. Dingman, do you have a question for Beth and the group on this?
Well, I have a question and a comment. First of all, will not this issue become moot to some extent when the results of the election are announced in the next couple of days before the 12th? And secondly, I know that listening to the discussions, there seems to be contradictions in the issue of the bylaws, how they announce the recording of meetings. There were two sections in that section six, if I believe. There was a section B and a section D or E that the latter section had to do with the emergency announcement of meetings. And one could interpret that in completely different kinds of ways. There was a contradiction in how to interpret that in terms of notification, which is, I know that, you know, probably is not going to be resolved tonight in any discussion. But the first question is, will the election not sort this out, is my question.
Shall I respond?
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. The election will resolve many questions about the future LSB, but not these specific questions. And yes, you're right that there are many substantive questions like that. One of the things we've discussed in these meetings is that we should be doing our best to track down exactly what the rules say, and then whether the actions of the delegates and the LSB were in fact in compliance with our own procedures. And that's some of what's taking time. Turns out there's a resolution on delegates removals, a procedure for delegates removals that was buried back in 2006, passed by the PNB without objection. But we had to find that out and track it down. And we still have to. The final report will include each of the rules, each of the pertinent rules that we're able to find, and then what we're able to find about how everyone behaved and are able to document, so that all of that will be presented in one comprehensive report, so that everyone can see it before they decide.
All right, Julie, I have a follow-up.
In the
bylaws there, the issue of announcement for emergency meetings, which talks about the need to have at least three times a day, 2 days prior to the emergency meeting being held, actual logs, MP3s being played. And if I recall, when and this is something that somebody has to dig up, perhaps Otis knows this, when we were changing the notification requirements, when we were dealing with the CPB, there became a lessening of that part of the initial writing of the bylaws that actually talked about recording and logging on separately MP3s to prove that they were played. Because, for example, the Inspector General of the CPB basically said we had to keep logs of announcements of meetings and keep that in order and retain the MP3s. Now, I doubt very much that the announcements of these emergency meetings in Los Angeles, or any emergency meetings, have been preceded with that kind of detail, which in light of the bylaws, how they're written, basically nullifies that as a, quote, legitimate meeting. So, I mean, I think that's an issue that has to be clarified. I don't necessarily, you know, Beth, I know this is, the difficulty to answer right now because the contradiction with the CPB requirement issue, but that's going to have to get sorted out, because what constitutes a legitimate announcement, in light of those requirements of actually having a formal notification legally in terms of the FCC or the CPB, which is why we were running our meetings like that in the past with those kind of notification requirements. That's more of a comment than a question. Thank you.
Thanks, Stingeman. I will note that I think there are aspects of our bylaws that mimic the CPB requirements, or at least as they were written when our bylaws were drafted. And I don't know for a fact, that our bylaws have been changed as the CPB requirements may have changed over time since, you know, this was some time ago too. So at any rate, I just wanted to say that part out loud.
Adam, your time on this item.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. I see, Adriana's hand up too. So Adriana, if you.
Madam Chair, time.
Would you let me finish? I heard you, Teresa. And what I was going to say was, Adriana, if you would like to speak on this matter, you have to first make a motion to extend. Or you can decide not to speak.
I make a motion. 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there a second to Dingaman's motion to extend for five?
Adriana.
Adriana. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider ourselves extended for 5 minutes. Teresa, your hand's up first.
No, I was just trying to move on.
Okay. Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair. I want to add to the excellent report, really. This committee is working really hard. Teresa, Ali, Vanessa, Beth, and myself. And we are, I want to assure the PNB that when we have a lot of facts already, but we want to be sure when we present the report, that's why we need to meet at least once more. That when we present the conclusion, everything is taken under consideration. I understand that, you know, it's an urgency on this, and that's why we are working so, so hard, and we make three meetings in the meantime from our last PNB meeting. We made three times, and we have most of the information already with us. We need to, it's a little things that are kind of contradictions, and we want to be sure before we come with the report. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. So,
Madam Chair, that's my hand up with a question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. The committee is using the, or at least I have been using the indexed bylaws online as our authority. Is there a more reliable iteration than that, or do you have updates? Do you have further updates that should go into those indexed? I just want to be sure we're using the most up to date and comprehensive bylaws that are available. I've had to warn other people at other times not to use the 2016 PDF. Bylaws.
Correct. It's not up to date. That you're absolutely right. As far as I know, the indexed bylaws are correct, although I would have to go back and check that to make sure. Because I made my own bylaws file so that I would have them.
That's why I put the question to you, because I don't know anybody.
But the point. The point I was making earlier was the CPB regs may have changed where our bylaws didn't, because what we did was we hardwired aspects of the CPB regs into our bylaws. And so then if the CPB regs change and our bylaws don't, then we've got, you know, potential conflict between what our bylaws require and what the CPB regs require. And all I was saying was, out loud, I am not convinced without doing a careful side-by-side comparison that even the most up-to-date version of our bylaws accurately represents what's in the CPB regs now. So not that we're not looking at the right version of our bylaws. All right. With that, I think it's time to move on, to the next item on the agenda, which is, determining whether, newly elected delegates begin their terms in November or December. And this is a 20-minute item, Teresa. There's no motion here yet. But what I did, was I pasted in the agenda the motion that we passed. As you all might recall, we had to, decide the length of the terms, and we decided, that back in, at our August 17th PNB meeting. And the reason we needed to do that is because basically the elections that are being held this year were technically speaking last year's elections, but the bylaws, have us on an election cycle where we hold elections 2 years out of three. So we hold an election 1 year, we hold in year one, in year two, no election in year three, and then we go back through that cycle again. And since basically what we were doing with this particular election was there had been an election in year one, there wasn't an election in year two, and that election is now occurring in year three of the cycle. And if we gave people three-year terms, then we'd have two people sitting in the same seat by the time we went through the next cycle. And so that's why we decided back in August that the people who were being elected this year were being elected to two-year terms. I have since heard that there are people who think that as soon as the election results are announced, the new delegates would then be seated at the next meeting. There seems to be some confusion about this. And so I think, as the PNB, we need to, come up with an approach for resolving this particular issue. And again, what I did was I pasted into the appendix of the, agenda. I pasted the motion that we passed back in August. And basically we said that delegates were running for two-year terms. And I think the presumption that everyone had when we voted on that was that those two-year terms would follow the normal cycle of terms, which, you know, in an ordinary election year, LSB delegates start at the December meeting. And so they go December through the following November, 3 years down the road. That's basically their term. So with new delegates then seated the subsequent December meeting. So, and then we changed that to 2 years. And so, you know, I don't have a particular dog in this fight, as it were. And so, I guess the point is, if people want to go for starting having these delegates who are about to be elected begin in November, then I think because we said they would be elected to 2 year terms, that means their terms would end. Okay. So this is 2023. If they start in November of 2023, that means that their terms would end, in October of 2025 instead of, you know, with the last meeting in November of 2025. So, we don't have a motion on the floor. I think we need to resolve that. Let me put it this way. We need to resolve this issue tonight. And the reason we need to resolve it tonight is because, as soon as the election results are announced, then the decision becomes about, are we seating specific people on a particular day or not? Whereas right now, nobody knows who won. And so it's a theoretical conversation at this point. And it's, you know, we're all behind the veil of ignorance. We don't know who won. And so we're not talking about whether certain people should be seated. We're talking about whether the successful candidates should be seated. And the question is that in December or sooner? So with that introduction, I'll just, open the floor to discussion. I see Dingaman, Sagerton, Beth, and Darlene's hands. Go ahead, Dingaman.
First of all, who is arguing to have this occur in November? Secondly, it's my impression that the whole thing was to return the election process to a regular process. That is, isn't the normal way to have people seated would have been in December. Someone can correct me. So I don't understand what's this big rush to do it in November. But who's advocating doing this in November? And what's their rationale? Maybe somebody can answer that as they go along. Thank you.
What I will say is someone posted something on a website and implying that it would be sooner than that. And, you know, the rumor mill in Pacifica being the rumor mill, it's out there. It's not me who's really advocating. Fair
enough. The problem I have with all this is we've not resolved this whole thing in Los Angeles. And we could just have another repeat of what occurred on December 18th with people interpreting the bylaws the way they want to and then saying, oh, my God, the board is now acting illegitimately. And I'm just wondering what others feel about this. It's my impression the whole thing was to return it back to a regular order. Anyway, thank you.
Yep. Next up is Sagerton.
Yeah, I agree with Dingman. In fact, that's what the judge instructed us to do in the Rideau versus Pacifica case. He said, seat delegates in December. That's what we usually do. We're going to throw our terms out of whack again, and we'll have, as you pointed out, Julie, correctly, we'll have people terming out in November right before we're supposed to, you know, it's just going to throw everything out of whack again. And so we want to return to the regular schedule. We already basically predetermined this issue when we voted for two-year terms, and I think we just need to stick with that. It comports with the judge's rules. It's what the bylaws call for. The judge said, hold bylaws-compliant elections. That's what this would be. Seating people in October or November would not be bylaws-compliant. That's all.
Thanks, Sagerton. Next is Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I agree with both Dingman and Sagerton. I had understood that this question was what we settled back in August, and that the part of the intention was driven by the trying to get back in sync with our routine regular election cycle, and to prevent future confusion when terms expire other than at the end of the year. And so that would be what I would support for clarity. Thank you.
Darlene, you're next.
I too was going to say that historically we've been having a very late in December meeting in which it was sort of like the turnover meeting. And then it gave the LSBs time to run their internal elections for national committees and national delegates. And also saying, repeating what the judge said, which was to have this done bylaws compliant by the end of December. So I know that the rumor mill would be running, but that Michael Novick published somewhere in his own political work elsewhere that on the 10th of this month, there will be new delegates seated. I don't think we really need to feel obliged to handle that and just say that was a mistake. And we'll do it as the judge said. It's not up to management to govern or to make rulings on our governance.
Thanks, Darlene. Adriana, you're next.
Yes. First of all, Jim, to answer some of your questions, I don't know the rest, but yesterday in KPFT Management's election review, the chair, that is the chair of our board and a previous LSP, PMB member, she brought that issues and she told us that we'll be in the PMB. I was surprised and I asked her how she knew that we'll be in the PMB. And obviously because I'm a director and I didn't know that and I'm surprised when I saw it today here. My question is, everybody's talking about the judge decision, but my question is, all of you know that English is not my first language. I think that all of you realize that. But the decision said by December or at the end of December or by the end of December in the decision. I don't know if anybody have the answer for that, because for me, that means two different things. Is anybody that know?
I don't have the decision open in front of me, so, but if somebody has it. Okay. Do you have it now or you're just?
I don't have it in front of me either, but even if it did say by the end of December, yeah, you could interpret, well, maybe today is by the end of December, but he said do bylaws compliant elections. And so to be bylaws compliant and to fit this process, as Elaine was saying, in with the normal schedule of things, we seat the newly elected delegates in late December or in December, and we go to the PMB elections in January, et cetera. So that whole process is determined by the bylaws and we should just follow it. And again, we have that overriding interest in keeping the terms regular going forward. That's what we're trying to, that's one of the things we're trying to correct there.
Yes, I thank you for that. I think that I understand sometimes the sentiment because now some people, during all this year, people are questioning the legality of the LSVs and PMB, and I think that that's the reason why all of this is going on. Thank you.
I will simply add that I think, back in 2022, as time was slipping by and it was clear that we didn't have the money to hold elections, it was much later in the year, even though we were way past, deadlines to do anything, right? We didn't have an NES. We didn't have, we hadn't done any of the steps that we needed to do, to hold elections in 2022. And I think initially, there were people who thought, well, we'll find the money. It won't take too much time and we'll hold the elections as soon as we can in 2023. And then of course, how it played out in 2023 was, we continued to have financial woes. And so, I think had we, this is obviously a counterfactual, but had we been able to say, hold the 2022 elections in March of 2023, it would have been, a reasonable thing at that point to say, well, let's just put these people on terms that are, starting as soon as possible, and that they, they don't get quite 3-year terms, but they get close to 3-year terms, and run with it like that. But then as the year wore on and it became clear that we were, basically going to follow the standard election cycle that's written in the bylaws, that just kind of the way it then unfolded. I mean, I think almost everyone assumed that we were talking about seating people in December when we passed this motion, back in August about the length of term. So, we would basically have to change that motion, I think. So, and that seems like that's adding a lot more confusion to the process. Dingaman, I see your hand.
I think the consensus is that, in my opinion, of course, this whole issue of the money issue, people conveniently ignored for their own purposes. But anyway, why don't we just resolve this? Someone can help me with the wording. I would make a motion that we are, implementing a bylaws compliant election and the normal process of seating delegates has been reinstated and will happen in December of this year or something like that. I mean, something as simple as that. But I think, you know, we can get rid of, we can dispose of this pretty quickly and move on. I have a feeling most of us feel that that should be the way it's handled. But I would, you know, I don't want to, the wording of this motion could, is rather simple. It just has to do with the normal seating should occur in December, because we now have reinstated a bylaws compliant election, something like that. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to rewrite that, that's fine, but I offer that as a motion.
I was scribbling while you were speaking.
Yeah.
Damon, so let me say, let me do it this way. Let me say, whereas the PMB implemented the normal bylaws process in 2023, therefore be it resolved that the newly elected delegates will be seated in December 2023.
That sounds cool. I second that.
Well, you made it, so.
All right, whatever. I second it, third it, what the hell? Go on.
Jim seeks a second. I'm just the secretary in this particular instance.
Could you say it again, please, secretary?
Whereas the PNB implemented the normal bylaws elections process in 2023, therefore be it resolved that the newly elected delegates will be seated in December 2023. Okay, so what I will say is, the part that we kind of left out there was, whereas the PMB implemented the normal bylaws elections process with motions it passed in 2023. That's the thing that we have to say. And there we're talking about, the one that we said, back in August, that where we said it would be 2-year terms. And then I think we also, passed a motion somewhere along the lines that, you know, kicked the process off. I don't remember exactly when it is, but, you know, we did something, I'm sure, back in like the June timeframe about how to proceed. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but certainly this August 17th motion is part of what I mean when I say, with motions it passed. Okay. I'm going to try and type this in the chat. But somebody else has to talk while I'm typing.
My hand is up.
Yes, go ahead, Secretary.
June Dingaman seeks a second. Okay. I'm not going to offer that just yet. I was going to agree with Darlene initially.
Point of information.
Teresa seconded it. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Go ahead.
I didn't hear that. So now that it's been seconded, maybe my statements are moot. I was going to say, I think I agree with Darlene. Somebody made a mistake, published this in a non-Pacifica publication online, and we didn't really need to do this, but now that you've gone all the work to do it, I guess we might as well go ahead with it. But I thought Darlene had a point. We didn't need to rise to the occasion of correcting someone's mistake. But no harm.
Well, I mean, I'm open to doing nothing as long as it's clear to everybody. You know, do we need a motion or do we just need a statement?
I would say now that you've already prepared the motion, since you already prepared the motion, maybe we should do that just for insurance. But I hear Darlene saying she prefers a statement, and I can agree with that as well.
May I finish that sentence that I blurted out, Chair?
Go for it.
I would prefer a statement of fact rather than, again, giving something that is an error that kind of weight for from the PMB, that we would have to pass a motion to clear up or correct such a important opposing statement made an error. So just a statement of what the schedule is would be quite sufficient for me.
Got it. Okay.
Sharon.
I got you, Sharon.
I'm next.
And okay. Gotcha. Go ahead, Fred.
How do we make a statement and retract a motion? I don't know.
So what we do is we made a motion and it was seconded. So the body owns it now, but the body can decide that we are going to, table the motion because tabling means we're just making it go away.
So move.
Okay. And then that way we don't have to actually, if, let me finish the thought. If we table the motion successfully, then we don't vote on the motion because it's been tabled, right? So just so everybody understands that. So obviously if you really thought making the motion was important, vote against tabling.
Well, we need a second first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's true. But I just wanted to be clear about that with people so that they understand what it is that we're doing here. And then the other thing I wanted to, point out is that, Vanessa has joined us. So, I didn't say, oh.
Chair, I second Fred's,
tabling.
Emotion.
Tabling motion. Thank you.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
I call the question.
Hang on. I'm taking roll here. I'm making sure that Vanessa's, and also Heather are marked down as present. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So Fred moved to table. Darlene seconded. Okay. I don't know that there's, I don't know if a motion on tabling is debatable anyway. So it may be that we don't need to, have a calling of the question, but I'm not.
I looked at tabling last week at our last point of information. When I looked at tabling an agenda item or a motion last week, it says the tabling is not, something that generates any discussion.
Gotcha. Okay. So then there is no discussion, although I see some hands up. Let's go to, let's go to, Adriana, there's,
motion to table. It is, yeah, you discuss, it's discussable. You don't have to, but yes, if people want to discuss, obviously.
Look, I'm not a parliamentarian. And what I'm faced with right now is, excuse me. I was speaking. I didn't interrupt you. Thank you. I'm not a parliamentarian. I have one member saying that a motion to table is not debatable. I have another member saying that it is debatable and I don't know what to do with that. And so what I would like to, okay, Fred.
I'm reading right now from the Robert's rules. Although the motion to lay on the table is not debatable, the chair can ask the maker of the motion to state his reason in order to establish the urgency and legitimate intent of the motion, or the maker can state it on his own initiative. Thank you.
So I think, and actually, I want to be clear. I think let's not have debate here. And the reason why is because it's pretty clear what the reason to table this motion is. It's that people favor making a statement instead of making a motion. So I don't think we need a whole lot of debate here. This is really a question of statement versus motion. So are there any objections to the motion to table?
And I'm chair, I want to abstain be in the record of abstaining?
That I would like answered.
Okay, so hang on. Adriana would like to abstain. I'm sorry, Sharon. What's your question?
Well, I would like to know from someone, because if the judge has said by December, then why are we extending it beyond December?
We're not extending it beyond December. What we're doing is saying that the people who think that the delegate, there's some people out there who think that as soon as the election results are announced, those newly elected delegates immediately take the seats, and that's not the sense of the what the PMB did when it passed a motion back on August 17th. So we're not changing it. We're saying, nope, we're sticking with the usual bylaw schedule, which says those newly elected delegates get seated in December. We're not changing that, Sharon.
But we have got already changed the bylaw schedule when we extended this term for an additional year.
Well, okay, but that's water under the bridge that we can't put back above the bridge, right? No, so it's too late to do anything there. A motion to table is on the floor and it's not debatable. I have Adriana wanting to abstain. Do I need to go to a roll call vote, or are there any other objections?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to go to a roll call vote. Let's just do it that way. Okay. So, I'm about to call the roll, and this is on the motion to table. So a vote yes means tabling the motion. All right. Teresa Allen. You're muted.
Yes, table.
Adriana Casanave.
I'm staying.
Jim Dingman.
You know, I say no, although I agree with Fred. I mean, you know, it may not be a statement, but I also am unclear as to the intent of why somebody decided to put this up to start with. Anyway, I say no. Thank you.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Pass.
Gotcha. Fred Dodsworth.
Obviously, yes.
Okay. Bill Foster.
A pass.
Pass?
Right.
Sue Goodwin. All right. I'll come back around. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Did Donna Grimes make it? Nope. Valia Jones? Join us yet? Nope. Ali Alexa?
I'm staying.
Next up is Marianne Martinez.
I'm staying.
James McFadden.
Abstain.
Darlene Pagano.
Yes, to table.
Sean Rhodes.
Yes, table.
Jim Sagerton.
Yes.
Sharon Salam.
No.
Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Egberto Willis, not here. Let me just go back through. Vanessa, you passed. If you're talking, Vanessa, you're muted. I'll keep going and come back around. Bill Foster, you passed.
I abstain.
Okay. Sue Goodwin?
Yes.
Thank you. Donna Grimes. Avelia Jones. Egberto. All right, I'm back up to Vanessa. Do I even see Vanessa at all now? We might have just lost Vanessa. All right. Madam Chair, that's 9 yeses, 2 noes, and 5 abstentions. Do you care to vote?
No, thanks.
I'll abstain. Okay. All right, that was amusing to me. Okay, so the motion to table passes. Okay. Teresa, go ahead. Oh, you're muted.
If the judge told us we need to have our elections by December, why are we even voting on this anyway? I mean,
well, that's just
lots of people think lots of things, and I think we just need to move forward as is logical and reasonable.
Yeah. And actually we're now not voting on it because we voted on a motion to table. So that means we do not have to vote on the motion itself now. I think we can make a statement, which we'll release that just says, you know, the same thing, just not as a motion. Go ahead, Darlene.
Chair, as you wonderfully often do, could you craft a couple of sentences that make the statement that there was an error and we will be following the bylaws? And I know you could say it better than I.
Yes. I'm more than happy to do that. Although what I need to do is get to a point where I don't have to talk and pay attention that I can, you know, so hang on one second. Let's see. What's the next item on the agenda? The next item on the agenda is the ED report and Q&A. And so maybe what I'll do is, turn the agenda over to Stephanie now to give her ED report while she's talking. I'll craft the statement. And then after the ED report, we'll come back and I'll read the statement and you all can, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down the statement. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I'll talk slowly for you. In the ED report that was sent to everyone, it has on the first page a list of the updated aged payables. It has changed from our last meeting. We were able to pay the National Election Supervisor her final payment. I believe we have one more payment that is possibly a couple of other payments that are due with the elections, but we do have the funds to cover that. We have the expenses for the paper ballots, which cost $1,019. And then we have just a couple of other, I think one more payment that is left for our Fair Campaigns person. And again, we have the funding for all of that. I'm not going to go through the details of some of these, but not to sit there and mention some of the vendors' names. But we have been making inroads on some of the bills that need to be paid. WBAI received a matching gift from a donor or a donation from a donor that was able to be used as a matching gift, which they successfully were able to use while they were, to help pay off some of the past due rent. So it was a great use of a matching gift. And they picked out pieces of it and used it, with different programming. So it was very encouraging as per some conversations that we've had, that the producers, you know, knew that they were given $1,000 or $500 or $2,000 from this matching gift in order to raise those funds for their program during their fund drive. So that was a success. So that was great. There are some of the stations as well that are kind of looking at getting replacement liability insurance on their own. So our former insurance company has been very kind in providing paperwork and forms that we need in order to try to get some of that information to see if that's a possibility for us to continue with liability insurance on a more local level to just kind of take us through until we can get the funding that is necessary to get liability insurance for everyone. Also for the total amount, I'll say that the total amount of aged payables without the loans in there is $1,178,109. As far as the loans, we have some interest payments that are due that are roughly $166,000 and $117,000, and then another interest payment past due that is around $61,000. So including our loans that are in that total, we have roughly, including the principal on one of the loans, I've just put that in there as well. Our total of aged payables, including the principal on one of the loans, is a little over $4 million. As also in the ED statements is the basic bank balance that we have as of today for each of the divisions. The total amount of money that we have in the bank is roughly $391,678. This fiscal year, those divisions that have paid central services are a total of central services to the national office is $285,096. So far the divisions that have not been able to pay any central services has been KPFK. WBAI had been in that boat for quite some time, but then they paid a large chunk with the bequest that they had received. As far as unpaid central services, there's roughly $925,000 in unpaid central services to the national office and approximately $116,000 in unpaid central services to the archives. The divisions that have not paid any money to the archives have been, actually, it looks, and I look on my chart, it's... Oh, unpaid. I'm sorry. I was looking at something else because I thought it said KPFA had not paid, but KPFA is paying the archives. I was just looking at my wrong chart. So the divisions that haven't paid anything to the archives this fiscal year has been KPFK, KPFT, WBAI, and WPFW. I do want to thank everybody, just to reiterate what was spoken earlier in the meeting, to everybody that made phone calls and even those that encouraged people to make phone calls and encouraged the different cards that were going out regarding the elections. It truly, if it wasn't for those phone calls and the work of everybody, you know, getting together and making that happen, that really truly is the primary reason why we were able to make quorum and not have to extend the election. So, there's many people that are greatly appreciative of that. And I am very encouraged by everybody getting together and doing something like that as a group. That is just proof that we can get together and do things when it comes to fundraising or making any other major decisions as we move forward. The consolidated banking, of the division's bank accounts has begun. There are accounts that have been opened for the Markeisha and I met with the bankers a couple of times this week and the week prior, and the accounts have been set up, and now we're just kind of, you know, testing with them, making small little deposits from other bank, from internal bank accounts, just to make sure everything is clean and clear. And then Markeisha will start moving those funds over. So she's been in conversations with the stations. We still have not moved forward with the audit because we don't have the funds to pay that, but we are ready to do that as needed. The Secretary of State has agreed again to, you know, continues to allow us to extend our deadline for that. Also in the ED report are the questions that were created based upon the motion that was discussed regarding the questions for our CAB people and our CAB chairs. I added a couple of other questions because one of the things that I'm interested in as well is not as much. I mean, I'm interested in what are you doing? How often do you meet? You know, what is the percentage of people that show up? But I'm also interested in talking to the individuals about, do you feel supported by the stations? Are the stations listening to what you're suggesting? If they are, you know, what has been implemented? And if they haven't, have you been given reasons as to why? Just to kind of get a general feel from the people that are serving on the CABs, as to if they feel that they are being supported and if they feel that the work that they are doing is helping the station and helping the Pacifica Foundation as a whole. So it's been some good conversations. I haven't connected yet with the CAB chair at WBAI. The information of who that person was given to me just recently. And I haven't received any information from anyone at WPFW regarding who the CAB chair is at WPFW. So if anybody on this board happens to know who that may be, that might be, if you could share that with me, that would be great, because I haven't been able to get any information yet from that station. So that's, once I get those answers from everyone, I have everything in a spreadsheet with the conversations, then I will go ahead and share that. And it's, it would be great if anybody has any questions.
Yeah, no, that, great. You've got a couple of people on the stack, Dingman, Adriana, Fred, and then Vanessa. Go ahead, Dingman.
Thank you, Stephanie. First of all, one thing, I would recommend that the board in general and all the boards going forward do is implement as soon as possible when there's a quorum problem emerging, as it did, the kind of measures that were put into place for the last 2 to 3 weeks of the election, because that would have been able to solve the problem pretty fast early on instead of the way we waited and successfully was able to complete it. But nevertheless, if we'd started making those phone calls a couple of weeks into it, that might have knocked it out even sooner. Secondly, I did encounter problems in my phone calls in both the Washington and New York City area, where I encountered people who were blind, people who did not have internet access or cell phones, so you couldn't receive SMS messaging. A lot of little glitches in there that would need to have phone calls occur early on. So anyway, that's just something to reflect on going forward. Secondly, the idea of pitching. I'm just curious, Stephanie, how throughout the network is your perception of how the different stations are utilizing people who have a proven track record of actually being very good at pitching on the air? And then how are producers at each of the stations being actually trained on a regular basis to pitch, to learn how to pitch in general, pitch their shows? I mean, I'm just wondering what you discovered or didn't discover about that particular question, how people are actually being taught the proper ways to actually ask for money on the air. Thank you.
I know that at many of the stations, they hold sessions, particularly before a lot of the fund drives, on how to pitch, little refresher courses. I've seen scripts from various stations of suggested dialogue with the, you know, when they move into the, a fundraising period of time. I was just working with a consultant that's working for free for WBAI, and we were going over some of those pitching scripts and verbiage within emails and things like that. I know that I think WPFW, they hold pitching sessions and training sessions on a regular basis. And I know within also KPFK, they share. A lot of the producers will work with other producers or segue from one show into another show and have the pitch person kind of carry through. And there's also some of the stations. I know that Linda at WBAI, I believe, has helped pitch at other stations. And Katia at WPFW has also helped pitch at other stations. So there is a lot of sharing of the knowledge. Should it be done more regularly? Yes. Do some producers not want to be told how to pitch? Yes. One of the things that we're hoping to do too is if producers are uncomfortable pitching for their programs, I've encouraged them as, Ursula from the affiliates had brought this up to the general managers as well, is that sometimes if you have someone else on the program that is talking and almost interviewing the producer of the program, they're more inclined rather than selling the program themselves or promoting it themselves because they're just uncomfortable doing that. It seems to be much easier for another producer to be on the air and saying, your show is so great. This is wonderful. Oh, I've heard you've done this. I've heard you've done that. Almost like a little interview, interstitial in between the program itself. So people are working. It is, you know, could there be more training? Of course, there's always room for more training and more learning, but there are things that are happening. Yes.
Let me just add, it's my experience that a lot of people don't bother to show up to that kind of training. So that is a problem in New York. I don't know how that's duplicated elsewhere in the country. Thanks.
It's a problem. Yes. But thank you. You know, we thank those that are training, the trainers that are training, and we, you know, thank the people that are open enough to add some new vocabulary and new pitches into their regular spiel.
Yep. Adriana, you're next.
Yeah, I will make all the questions together, and you can answer the way that you want, Stephanie. The first one is, obviously, we have a report from the NES before the final payment, like is customary. That is one. The second question is about the paper ballots and the ballots by itself. Where the voting ballot will be kept in custody in case that an audit is necessary. And the third one is, I'm looking at the unpaid central services, and I can see, and I don't understand really, because I can see here that at the end, the column that said net profit or net loss at July 31st, 2023, consolidated financials, is only one station that is not in the negative, and is KPFT. All the rest of the station are in red, because we are complaining about, normally about WBAI, and, but I can see here that KPFA and KPFK own more in central and pay central services that all the other stations combined. Are they doing anything? Because I know that we are talking about fiscal responsibility for some of the other stations, but we are told that KPFA was such an example, and I can see here that have almost $350,000 in unpaid central services. I really worry about that, and I want to know if it's something that is being done in KPFA to solve this and bring them to, again, to the black column instead of the red. Thank you.
The report will be worked on from the NES. There have been, historically, the NES has been paid prior to that report being done, and the report is always turned in. So there hasn't been any point when the NES has done work with Pacifica that the report has not been turned in. So I am trusting the work that she is doing, and historically she hasn't done anything to show to me that she can't be trusted to get that report done. As far as the paper ballots, they were sent to a secure PO box that is up in Northern California. When those ballots are being taken out, to my knowledge, what I have been told is that they will be taken out. Everything is being done on Facebook Live. I believe that information has already been sent out when they're being pulled out, when they're opened, and when they're being counted. At that point, when they're done, to my knowledge, they will be sealed up and shipped to someplace safe. At this point, in my mind, it would be with Arthur, and they would be kept in a locked environment with him in case they need to be moved, you know, someplace else, because we don't really have a secure national office per se where they can be kept. As far as the numbers, you know, don't lie. There's many of the divisions that have not paid any central services. Many of the divisions that are working on a net loss. These numbers were taken from the consolidated financials from July. Those were completed. The August ones are being worked on now, so we're going to get those pretty soon. But yes, you are correct in that there are multiple stations that are not paying central services to either the archives or the national office, and they haven't been paid the entire fiscal year, if not further.
And the last one, if you know that was something being done to solve that issues, to make that those stations have some, I don't know, we are asking fiscal responsibility with some of the stations, we should ask all of them, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You know, when we look at the financials and when I look at the financials, there's, you know, it's every station that I'm looking at, and we are working with every station to determine what they need to do to increase the listenership, to increase the revenue, to work on the underwriting, to work on any sort of sponsorships, to work on outside fundraising activities. You know, if there's individual grants that are being written, working with them on that, talking with major donors. We have a volunteer that is in Southern California that is working with individuals at KPFK, but it's also with fundraising across the board, where we have, I created a little one sheet with sort of, you know, this is what we need. You can help. This is how much we need. These are emergency needs right now. And we're working with her, dividing up a list of potential and prospects and making phone calls and asking if there's anybody that would be willing to help us reach right now just a goal of a little, you know, about $800,000 to pay some of these past due payables. So it isn't just something that is one station not making their central services, but this is kind of the issue when multiple stations aren't paying central services. And then, you know, we're fortunate enough that they're really focusing on making their payroll, making their health benefits. And even a lot of the other stations, you know, we're covering some of those costs. So the national office is picking up the tab for some of those shortfalls at this point.
Fred.
I'm thrilled to follow that question. In fiscal year 2006, the PNO owed Pacifica $1.312684.91. That was reclassified from something that was going to be paid back immediately to a long-term receivable. Left behind were $252,847.42. I'll post all this in the chat in a minute. In other words, Pacifica is paying for central services, but they're simply taking them out of the money that the PNO owes the KPFA station. Also, I'd like to point out that the central services pay for a number of things, including insurance and workers' comp, that KPFA is not getting, and yet we're paying for them. And so I want to dissuade people from saying that KPFA is not paying central services. KPFA is using a typical accounting sheet, and we are simply taking those monies that are owed us, that were borrowed from KPFA, and applying them to the debt that Central Services has. We'll discuss this more when we go into closed session, and I will post this in the chat. Thank you.
Vanessa?
Sorry. So I just wanted to, in response to the question, Stephanie's question, about PFWCAB, that was only able to stay for part of it. But before I left, I think the process to accept the candidates was completed, and I presume that the CAB will elect its own chair. So if anybody, and Julie, you correct me if I'm wrong, if anybody can provide that information to you at this point, presumably it would be Minerva. But literally the process just got done this evening.
Perfect. Thank you.
My understanding is consistent with that. I, too, wasn't able to attend the entire meeting this evening, but we're getting going. Sagerton, you're next. And you're muted if you're – there you go. No. Try again.
Yeah, sorry. I'm using the phone and the Zoom. So I don't get that noise. Most of my questions were asked and answered, but I do have a question about the questions that you have for the CABs. And I think it was number 11. I can't see it right now because I'm on the phone screen. It said that the CABs have a duty or responsibility, I forget what the wording was, to, evaluate the programming and the major policy decisions of the station. And I think that's not what the CPB regs say. They say that they have the right to do that, but the only duty that they have is in one of the numbers further down, which is do a community needs assessment. So I think it, again, I believe it's number 11, but the one where it says that they have a responsibility to do those things, that's overstating it. They have a right to do those things, but they, it's not like a duty that they have to do to qualify.
Okay. I was pulling the questions from the motion that was put forward, so I can make those adjustments.
And if you go to the CPB link that's on KPFTX, you can see those requirements. They're laid out there in that link to CPB.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for that clarification, because it's easy to sort of, that's an important distinction, and it's easy to sometimes lose sight of that. Darlene, you're next.
Yeah, Stephanie, you were talking about a unit, a station that made really great use of a matching pledge, and I missed the call letters. Who was that?
WBAI.
WBAI, great. And then I forgot the second part, so I'll take my hand down now, but I may put it back up. Thanks.
Let's see.
Madam Chair, time.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the other people who have their hands up are Dingaman and Adriana, who have both already asked questions. So, so folks, unless you have burning questions,
I move to extend for 3 minutes.
Change it to finish the stack.
Is that okay, Jim?
Yeah, fine.
The exhausting the stack would be Jim, Adriana, and Darlene if she thinks of that other question, but that's what exhausting the stack means. Are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. First of all, in the CPB definition of the community advisory board, there is nothing in there that talks about a needs requirements study. There's nothing in that language. That language was placed in a motion that came before the board about 10 or 12 years ago. So that has to be clarified. There's nothing in the CAB statement. The only thing that's there is they shall be permitted to review the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, the significant policy decisions rendered by the station. There's no language in there about a needs assessment. Okay. So that has to be sort of, that's an add-on that came on as a motion from the PNB years ago. Now, the question I have is we've had a year ago, we had a motion passed to get audience and financial data from the stations. Fred came up with a motion more or less complimenting that a couple of months ago. I'm just wondering at this point, and some people differ. I personally think we have to get, we have to send director inspections into these stations now to accomplish it. Others don't agree with me, but my feeling is that that has to happen because people are not taking seriously the fact that we need that data, that financial data to make any kind of sound evaluations. We need to know how much money's being earned and how. And so I'm wondering if there's been any response from your dealings with the managers on that issue. And secondly, the other question of needing to have money raised to have an audit, I would propose we have a national fundraiser to raise money to get the audit underway because you and I and all the other people here know that if we don't have an audit underway, that can hurt us in all sorts of different ways down the road, including the inability to be able to apply for foundation money or any kind of money because we won't have an audit in place. So, you know, I'm just saying it to my colleagues that I think we're going to have to seriously think about some way to get that $75,000 in the kitty there. And I'm just wondering what kind of thoughts you have about that, Stephanie. Thank you.
Yeah, the audit is something that some groups, at least people that are involved with other nonprofits, they understand the importance of that. That is one of our needs in this, you know, fundraising effort that we're spearheading out of KPFK. The audit, you know, is important, $78,000. the cost of the election was $78,000, and we were really only able to raise about $5,000 of that. So everything else came from money that's been coming in or being given to the national office. So I'm 100% for, you know, asking for those funds, and you know, hopefully our listener audience and donors will understand the importance of that, because the election was important as well. And, you know, we raised a very small amount for that. Grateful for it, but, you know, it was small.
Well, what about the fact that we've been asking continually for this financial data and audience data, and we've gotten absolutely nothing?
Yeah, KPFA has a great spreadsheet. KPFA is a great spreadsheet that they put together. The business manager and the general manager with that, they're just finalizing it to put all of that in, and it's broken down, you know, by producers that are paid or programmers that are paid, programmers that aren't, premiums that are, you know, paid for, premiums that are donated or in kind. And so that's something that once they finalize that, they weren't comfortable yet spreading that out to the rest of the general managers. I have, you know, Allegiance. You can get those reports. I received reports just a couple of days ago from the membership director at KPFK that breaks down the programs, you know, that they're, what they're raising during the fund drive by program, by premium, by break, you know, so all of that is literally a push of the button on Allegiance, and you can get the money that is raised during that time. So, you know, it's, when I got the information sent to me from KPFK, I was going to, you know, go ahead and forward you those links. But again, that's just from the fund drive.
All right. Thank you. It seems to me that we're going to have to move into the director inspection mode, because there's one station that's had this data all along, and I'm not going to name them in a public session, but this has been something they gathered for years, and they've not supplied any of that information. So it's pretty clear we're going to have to go to that mode. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Adriana, did you put your hand down?
Oh, no. I didn't.
Well, okay, it's down, but I remembered that, so go ahead. Ask your question.
Stephanie, I really, really worry now, because it's your understanding what Director Fred Osworth just said, talking about KPFA not paying the central service, because the almost $350,000 that they owe, because they are talking about some strange number for 2006. Is that your understanding?
Personal privilege.
Because, I'm sorry.
Hang on, Fred, stop. She didn't interrupt you. I mean, so let her ask her question.
Thank you. My question on that is, the last time that I remember the PNB passing a motion, KPFA owes $75,000 plus the $100,000 that were supposed to go from KPFT to the national office and went to KPFA. My question is that your understanding, what just Director Dorswood just said?
I don't have a clear answer for that, because there's so many numbers that float around regarding who owes what and who owes what to whom and what station paid this and what station paid that. And it had come to a point that really central services have almost become just like fake monopoly money that is transferred from here to there. I mean, that was one of the issues even when Netta was working with us in general, is that central services are often paid on paper of, you know, well, oh, well, we owe you money, or you owe us money. And I'm not saying anything about any station in particular. This is just a general statement, is that, you know, if somebody says, oh, well, we haven't paid, we borrowed money, or you borrowed money from us, therefore we're not going to pay that central service, it then just becomes numbers that are passed around on a spreadsheet. And those numbers have been spread apart on, you know, have been spread out on the spreadsheet or moved around on a spreadsheet, what appears to me to be decades. But when it really boils down to it, we need money to pay for things like insurance, like the audit, like the elections. That's cash that needs to be sent to a vendor. And so when central services over the years has just been money that is being moved randomly through spreadsheets, it is one of the things that has gotten, I believe, Pacifica to the point that there isn't money to pay these bills. I mean, I'm all for, we're looking at the central service formula for fiscal year 24. We've already submitted a very rough but draft budget for this upcoming fiscal year that includes central service payments as an expense item for each of the divisions in the expense line at, you know, the 15% of revenue, not including grants, and then 5% of revenue, 15% going to the national office, 5% going to the archives, and that's showing up as an income line for the national office and the archives. And that money is going to have to be tracked and put in on a monthly basis as revenue and expense, or that expense isn't being paid or revenue that's not being generated, because it's just kind of come to a point of, again, money magically just kind of moving around that doesn't become actual funds, but is a countdown for a tab. And at this point, you know, I'm that bartender that's just saying, clear the tab, let's start fresh, because it's such a hot mess. I know that's not a clear answer, and I want to make sure that every station is getting what they, you know, deserve, and that people aren't getting overcharged. But we really have to look at it as, you know, again, we're one organization with one bottom line. Money needs to flow into the national office so we can flow that money out and pay the bills.
Yes. And it's only one organization, the Pacifica Foundation. Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
There's multiple groups that aren't paying central services. Multiple. KPFT is paying their central services to the national office, not to the archives. KPFA is paying their central services to the archives. They have an automatic deposit. Every month that money just automatically comes out and, you know, and goes right to the archives. You know, KPFK has not paid central services, and the number is so high, I don't even know. WBAI had not paid, where, you know, on their books, the number is astronomical what's owed. We'll never catch up. So they paid.
No, the number that you just said.
They paid $120,000 recently, and that has taken us through a lot of bills recently. And we've made a lot of vendors happy paying bits and pieces, you know, and using that and helping offset some costs with insurance and offset, you know, with election payments and things like that. So we're very grateful when anybody can pay anything, but it really has to become more official than just, which is again, consolidating the bank accounts is going to be a huge help, because we can really then at that point, have the money transferred over, and then we pay your bills. You know, the central office, you paid your central services, but you don't have enough money to pay that bill. Okay, we'll lend you that money so you can pay it. And now we can keep good tabs on what's paid, what's not paid, and how much is owed.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks. Darlene, you thought of your question, apparently.
Yes, I did. Thank you. Well, let's talk about money. Stephanie, I've been part of a pressure campaign, so to speak, at KPFA when the call has come out where if we don't get this much money, we're not going to make payroll. If we don't get this much money, we're not going to pay benefits, and on and on. And each time I have gone to our, as a delegate, PNB delegate, but also our longtime working relationship, I've gone to our general manager and to our business manager and said, I know we can't pay the whole central services, and we haven't been for, well, what would it be? Maybe back in November when our bank accounts were wiped out by the marshals. Does anybody remember that? And I've gone and they've come up with chunks of money, not a full accounting of our central services, but we come up with chunks of money. How is that attributed? It doesn't get attributed to our central services. That's one. And two, I'm glad you pointed out that the PNO, the national office, pays bills for the different stations. for their payables. KPFA has zero balances on all of our vendors and payroll and benefits and yada, yada. We still manage to get everything paid. And I know we've been able to send some chunks of money. Where does that appear on the books, if not Central Services payment?
The chart of Central Service payments for KPFA, it does show $20,000, which was the offset that you guys paid recently, I mean, a few months back for the shortfall that was with the payroll. And I am very proud to say that KPFA has no aged payables. Zero. Zero.
Now my point of personal privilege, because my name was spoken directly. In the time I've been on the LSB, there are at least two and possibly three times that the P&O has taken money from KPFA's accounts. One of those was the $300,000 that Darlene just acknowledged. There were several more. And so when it's said that KPFA is not paying its central services, that's because KPFA, unlike some of the stations, is running on an accrual basis, not on a cash basis. Some stations run on a cash basis where they don't put a bill on the account until they can pay it. They don't put money in the account until they receive it. That's a nice way to run a bar, especially if you're trying to avoid taxes. But it's a hell of a poor way to run a multi-million dollar five-station network. And we need to have all the stations run to accrual. And we don't need to just, wipe away the past. We need to actually do a serious fiscal accounting, because when we do a serious fiscal accounting, we will see that there are some substantial changes that need to be done within the network. Thank you very much for your time.
I just was going to say one thing in response to what Fred just added, which is really basically all of Pacifica's books are supposed to be on an accrual basis, right? We can't, some units do cash and some units do accrual. It's accrual. That's what we do, which means.
You are supposed to do.
Do. I mean, that's what our books are. And what that means is you book, bills when they're due. And then you also track your payments, and that's how you can tell whether you have, accounts that are past due or whatnot, because, you've accrued, expenses, but that you haven't made the expenditures to pay off those expenses, right? And so I didn't get enough sleep last night to use proper accounting terminology at the moment, but Stephanie, go ahead. You might say it better.
No, I was going to say I believe that there was actually a motion that was passed decades or so ago, if not years ago, that all the stations and all the divisions need to be on an accrual basis. And yet we still have pushback on that, which is again, one of the big reasons wanting to move everything into a consolidated bank account. Then we can have our accounts, not one account, but then we can be able to work with the business manager on a regular basis. We have a lot of the stations, not a lot, but some of the stations that their finance committees don't want to do accrual accounting. And so then they don't really quite understand it. And they push back about that all the time. And I'm heartbroken also that funds were taken from KPFA, but it wasn't the national office that took the funds. It was the U.S. Marshals that took the funds. And again, it breaks my heart that happened. And the same thing happened last year, that funds were taken by, taken from KPFK, taken from WPFW, taken from also KPFT. And it was close to, I think it was $92,000.
So let me understand what you just said. You said there's pushback. And correct. You also said that they're all accrual, that you can't reconcile those two things.
They're right. There's push. They're not all accrual. They're supposed to be.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Correct.
And I think, the other thing that this points out is the challenge of, the fact that we have on local finance committees, we have at times people serving who are much more comfortable with thinking about accounting on a cash basis. And the problem is they then complain when the books are on an accrual basis because they can't tell, you know, what the bank balance is. And it's like, because that's not what an accrual accounting is meant to tell you. You can look at the bank balance, but you can't read it off the spreadsheet. You know, and that's because it's accrual accounting. And so, you know, I appreciate people wanting to serve their station, right? And serve on a finance committee, but there's a point at which, you know, we need people, you know, to bring the goods when they're going to serve on a finance committee. And what that means is at least getting a grasp on the basic difference between cash and accrual accounting and then saying, okay, well, mentally I can track cash accounting, you know, because that's what I do with my own bank account, right? This is different and I've got to think a little bit differently and, you know, get with the program. Okay. This has been an interesting conversation, but, I think we're past time on this because we extended to exhaust the stack and I see more hands, but they weren't hands that were on the stack previously. So, I'm going to move on.
Chair, could I be recognized, please?
You're going to have to make a motion to extend because we're out of time.
I'll do it. I would like to ask for a motion to extend for 2 minutes.
I object and will demand a vote count.
Oh, please. Come on, man.
No. No. You guys can fucking waste my time all night.
There's no call for that. Stop.
Open session.
Look, stop, Dingaman, unless you're the chair. Folks, we don't want to waste 2 minutes. All Jim Sagerton asked for was 2 minutes. Let's either decide to do this or not, but let's not waste more time trying to shut down a 2 minute conversation than the 2 minute conversation would take. Sagerton put a motion on the floor to extend for two. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for two? Okay. I got Fred's objection, written down here because I'm writing it down. Are there any other objections?
I object.
Okay. Are there any objections besides Fred and Teresa? If somebody else spoke while I was talking, I didn't hear who you were.
Beth made a noise. Beth coughed.
Oh, gotcha. Thank you. Okay. So I've got Fred and Teresa objecting, but that's not enough to not carry. So 2 minutes. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Okay, I apologize. This is not about the finances, so everybody can calm down. I just wanted to correct something for Stephanie's benefit. The item I mentioned on item 11 in the CAB questions that you had, it was stated later that the community needs assessment was not a requirement. It says here in the CAB regulations that the CABs have the right to review the station's programming goals, the right to review the service provided by the station, the right to review significant policy decisions, and the obligation to advise the station's governing body on whether the station's programming and other significant policies are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the communities served by the station, and to make recommendations the CAB deems appropriate. That's otherwise known as a community needs assessment. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim, for that clarification. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the general counsel report and Q&A, and I put it on there before I'd actually heard from Arthur that he didn't have anything to report in open session. He may or may not be able to join us for the closed session. So, that brings us to, you know, the unfinished business, new business, you know, wind down stuff. And
point of order.
We had, go ahead, Sean.
I think you may have been getting to the point where saying we were going to revisit the statement regarding the delegate seating.
Oh, Yes, 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 yes. You're right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Much appreciated. Okay, so I wrote a statement. And here's the draft statement that I wrote. And this is going back to the question about when do the newly elected delegates sit in their delegate seats. Okay, so here's the statement. And it's in the chat if people want to see it. I posted it right at 11 o'clock. The PNB is aware of a statement that those candidates whose election will soon be announced would be seated immediately. This is an error. Newly elected delegates will be seated at December meetings of the LSBs. The PNB points to the motion passed at the August 17, 2023 meeting that ensured that these elections would put Pacifica back on a schedule for elections in terms consistent with the Pacifica bylaws. Maybe it's a little long-winded, but it's just three sentences. Oh, because I used a semicolon. That's why.
And it's a statement. We just simply agree that that's a good statement, correct?
And it's a statement. And I, you know, as I said, I mean, I think everything in there is basically factual, right? So, I mean, there may be some here who disagreed, you know, with the overall policy, but it is in effect, I think, implicit in what we voted on back in August. So, yes, thank you. So that's the statement. And, I was going to say we could read that as part of the report out, but you don't have a report out from, open sessions because anybody can listen.
Madam Chair, so, post that to the list as well for those who don't see the chat.
Yes, absolutely, Sean. That's an awesome suggestion. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, Teresa.
Madam Chair, we are past the time certain to go into executive session.
Yes, we are, which was going to be the next thing that I was going to point out. Thank you. I'm trying to. Trying to send the email to the PNB so that everybody has this. Yes, we are past time certain, and so I would argue that, and I'm including you, Stephanie, on this email as well. Okay, and I see now that I spelled, I had one tiny grammatical error in the version that was in the chat, so the version in the email fixes that grammatical error, and it was just simply that I used the word an, where I should have used the word a. Okay, yes, we are past time certain. I would entertain a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sagerton. Any objections to the motion to move into closed session? Hearing none. We will end the open session, and it is 11:19 p.m. on the East Coast, and I will put us in the...